everyone, and welcome to another episode of Divination. Divination is a podcast and video show by Elegant Themes, the creators of Divi, the ultimate WordPress theme and visual page builder. The goal of Divination is really simple. We want to provide you with the knowledge, insights, and supportive community that you need to be successful with WordPress and Divi. I'm your host, Nathan B. Weller, and as your host, it's my job to facilitate that success by having various guests from the Divi and wider WordPress community onto the show to share their stories and experiences with you. In this episode, I'm interviewing Jake Kramer of Artillery Media, Superfly, and PageInADay.com. Jake is the business partner and collaborator of John Wooten, who we had on the show last week. Now, where John talked about recurring income, vertical optimization, and all that good stuff, Jake and I will mostly be talking about the project that he and his wife lead up called PageInADay.com. Now, this is a service they offer with a 24-hour website turnaround time after the content has been delivered. So we talk about why in the world someone would want to do that, the logistics of getting it done, and of course, how that fits in with their larger business plan. All that and more in today's episode of Divination. Here it is. Jake, welcome to Divination.
Thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
It's awesome. I'm so glad to have you. You are our third Lincoln, Nebraska guest in as many weeks, I think. So we're on quite the streak with the, what did you call it, the Silicon Prairie?
Yeah, that's the name that's starting to pop up around here.
That's awesome. So why don't you introduce yourself, full name, company? I'm sure everybody can kind of see a little bit in the background, but give us the full spiel here for a second.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm Jake Kramer. I'm the director at Artillery and owner of PageInADay.com. And what we do here is we just are a web design, we call it a studio because we're not an agency or anything like that. We solely do web design and development for specialty products and client work. Now we're in 38 countries.
Oh, wow.
I know you talked to Andrew and John. Andrew is doing some amazing work in this area, and he is really, really helping the Lincoln scene in incredible ways. And we're kind of focused more on the product side of things and helping Divi users all around the world. And of course, that's brought in a lot of business from around the world as well.
So. That's awesome. I mean, it's so great to see people doing big, ambitious things with Divi. You just mentioned that you're up to customers in 38 different countries. That's a huge milestone. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Let's take a step back, though, and let's talk about where you started. How did you get into this stuff? How did you get into web design? How did you get into WordPress? How did you get into Divi?
Yeah. So like most creative people, I'm beginning to find out, it all started with music. And learning how to play. I know the other two Lincolnites that you talked to, as well as several of the people in the WordPress community and in tech in general. I feel like music really, really kind of stirs up that creative juice from a young age. Mm-hmm. And once you start learning and figuring out how to do new things on an instrument or new things anywhere in life, you kind of push yourself and start to think, oh, what else can I do with that? What else can I do with that? And so funny enough, I started playing the violin when I was 7 years old or something like that.
Oh, wow.
And so here in Nebraska, you live or die by your country music. And so as a fiddle player in kind of a small city at that point, well, I was born in Southern California. We moved here when I was young, probably about 10. And so I learned how to hoe down, fiddle with the best of them.
That's awesome.
So to speak. And so John plays the drums. He's a great drummer. He's toured around the nation in a couple different groups. And so circumstances came up where we were in the same group. And so he was just like, hey, you should come play fiddle for this cover band, whatever. And I was like, I was a kid at that. I think I was maybe 16 or something like that. And so started doing that. Loved it, of course. Started developing. And we would spend hours and hours in the car driving back and forth to these small town Nebraska shows, playing these street dances and stuff. And eventually he was just like, hey, you know, the way you think about things is great, and the way you work, I love your work ethic. Let's try working together. And so, John kind of helped me start on the path of WordPress and then Divi.
Oh wow,
we are now.
So when you say you started on that path, how long ago was that? How long ago did you actually start using WordPress and then and Divi? Was it at the same time, or did you start with WordPress first, and then Divi came out, or what was that whole thing like?
Yeah, I'm kind of a newbie in all this whole life. I mean, I've only been doing this for about 2.5 years.
Oh wow!
So I'm only 23 years old, and so having a mentor like John, if I could have one piece of advice for anyone listening who's approximately my age and in this or somewhere around there, is have a best friend who's 13 years older than you, who knows what he's doing and knows where he's gone. I mean, he was in the Marine Corps, so he had structure down. And so that's spending awesome. All of my weekends from the country band with someone who's, you know, I looked it up to him like a big brother, and he just helped direct me in a lot of ways. And then I was like, all right, John, let me see what I can take it from here. And then we kind of ran with it together. So that's my one piece of advice.
Yeah, that's really cool. So you really jumped into the whole world of WordPress almost through Divi then.
Yeah, I did. I think the first website that I did was for our city's municipal golf course.
Okay, nice.
We did it in Avada.
Oh, okay, another general WordPress theme, yeah.
Sure, yeah. And so when Divi came along, I jumped on it right away, and actually the only, this is kind of funny to say, it kind of shows my age, but the only WordPress theme I've ever installed is Divi.
Oh, wow.
Of course, Divi Child theme and stuff like that. So I might be a new one there, but
that's awesome.
It's been one thing to move back. Of course, I've worked on other websites all across the world for clients. We do a lot of consulting work too for clients all across the world using different themes. And there is no theme like Divi. It is unreal what you can do with it, constantly getting better. So I'm happy.
That's awesome. That's so good to hear. And that's something that we found out with the community in general, is that a lot of people come to WordPress just because they're like, oh, I could probably use that theme. And they're like, oh, I have to install this other thing before I can use Divi. And so to them, they're just using Divi, and WordPress is almost just like, it's like, just comes with the package, you know?
Right.
Like they weren't like a multi-theme user, or they didn't get into WordPress for any other reason. It's just, they want a website and they thought, I could build my own website with Divi. So that's really cool. I love that. I think you might be the first guest on the show where that's the case, which is really cool. So one thing we were talking about before we started was the fact that you have a really unique business, and you mentioned it already, called Page in a Day. And I kind of wanted to make sure we blocked out an extended chat for just this topic, because in the WordPress community, in the web design community, web development community, anything that is like super fast turnaround of a website, it's kind of a hot button issue. Like, people go nuts. They're like, you can't do that. That is irresponsible. You know, like, so I just want to hear, like, you have this service, it's called Page in a Day, where you spin out a Divi website in 24 hours and then you're done? Or just tell us about it first, and then I guess I'll pepper you with questions.
Yeah, absolutely. So like I said, it kind of started with Artillery, and then Page in a Day was kind of happening as Superfly. I'm part of that too. My wife and I help with support for that. So if you're a Superflyer, you probably got an email from me or my wife. So shout out to those guys, incredible guys. But so with Page in a Day, we really started thinking about, okay, the whole client side of websites and the whole content side of websites, that's what takes up the most time. And of course, that's what you have to start charging for. Mm-hmm. What takes up your most time, what eats up your calendar, are those things. And so we started developing these processes that really help. So I'm a huge reader, or listener, I guess I should say. Audible is huge.
Oh yeah,
me
too.
I probably read, you know, 2 books a month or something like that, which is probably small potatoes for some people. but anyway, I read this book, this Tony Robbins, you've probably heard of Tony Robbins. He interviewed this guy named Ray Dalio, who's an investor, and he had these 3 points about the American economy. And there's this, if you go to economicprinciples.org, you'll see this video, but there's 3 points that these kind of really drove home our whole system, our whole thoughts about how this business should be run. And the first one is, don't have debt rise faster than income. Number 2 is, don't have income rise faster than productivity. And number 3, do all that you can to raise productivity. So those were kind of his three steps to make the economy better, not just economy, of course, business in general. And so as I kept listening to these books and kept listening to these people and talking with John, talking to clients, I mean, we interviewed probably 30 or 40 of our past clients to hear, hey, what did you like about us? What did you hate about us? Write it out for us, and we'll give you, you know, a free month or free several months of our maintenance plan.
Yeah.
And they all said, hey, we really want a process. We really want a timeline. We want to do to pitch to our team. What can we expect exactly how much it'll cost, exactly what's included and all that. Mm. And so to go back on your first question of how this all happened is we started listing things out with our client side of work. And we started, we created this 10-step process, this PowerPoint that I would, it was just my sales deck, you know, and people just loved it. They loved having the transparency of everything that we did. They loved hearing us talk about, okay, this is exactly how we'll do strategy. Okay, next is we need your mood board and your site outline. And once we have that, we can pitch you an itemized proposal with a timeline. So I created this graphic timeline. I just found some, you know, template on Avato, Graphic River or whatever. And I created this timeline. And that was like the header of all our proposals. And once we listed out the exact dates that people can expect the content due, the wireframe done, the design done, the development done, testing and launch done, then they'll know exactly what they can do that. Additionally, on top of that, we'd say, hey, you know, in the form of transparency, the number one thing that we always wait on, and I'm sure everyone listening can relate to this. What is it?
Content.
Content.
It's always content.
Always content. And so we developed this very unique way of looking at things through a couple of like the BNI or mastermind groups that we're in. Mm-hmm. And someone was just like, you know, well, I first said, you know, I want to penalize these people for being late. They're wasting our time. Like, this is the most expensive and most important part.
Yeah.
And my stupid young age, someone's like, no, don't do that. Reward them for being there. So we created what's called this early bird pricing. So in our proposal, right below the timeline is early bird price. And it's, of course, it's in a different color and it's nice and pretty. And it's the price that we definitely need to get to make it profitable for us. Mm-hmm. And then below that in a smaller print is the full price with an asterisk. And of course it's marked up.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so down below it says, you know, if you know, content is always the thing that we wait on. If you get our content by this date, you're rewarded by, you know, sometimes almost $1,000 or more, just by having the content to us. And then we, you know, create some conditional logic and some email chains that send reminders to do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, that does a couple of things. First of all, most of the time it gets people on track. Second of all, it makes people very gracious to us when we grant them additional 2 weeks because it's so clear. They understand exactly what's happening. Mm. And so then we list the rest of the things and off we go.
Yeah.
So when we came to Page in a Day, what we really wanted to do is convey that whole transparency and that whole thought process of educate, be transparent with your pricing, be transparent with your business model, just the go giver. That's another one I read. And everyone, every book that I ever read just always said, you know, give, educate people. Those who give, those are those who receive. There's a little book called The Bible that I think that's in too.
I think I've heard that before.
Yeah, maybe in a couple books. So on Page in a Day, you'll see our pricing structure. And I know that is kind of crazy for a lot of people, but it's this interactive quote builder. It breaks down our costs and it's constantly evolving. We're constantly adding and removing things to it to see how it works as people come and go, clients give us feedback and stuff. But if you go to pageinaday.com and you go down to pricing after you see the features and see how it works, of course, it starts with $9.95 and that's just for pageinaday.com. That's what that would cost us.
Yep.
Then as you add pages, add features and stuff like that, you can see the price bubble go up or down. And so we wanted to do that, and people just love it. People absolutely love it. That's what helped us expand into other countries.
Oh, wow.
Because sometimes people are afraid of coming and seeing, you know, oh, what's this American company going to cost me in Lincoln, Nebraska that I've never heard of before? They're probably, you know, going to upcharge me or whatever. And having that transparency has led to an explosion of business because people know exactly how much it's going to cost every time. And so it says 24 hours. That's, of course, after the content's been received and after we have everything we need to build. The build time on a one-page website is 24 hours. We've done a time in and time out.
That's awesome. I'm going through your quote tool here. I'm actually wondering, what is that? Is that a specific plugin? I feel like I've seen this plugin before. Did you get on Code Canyon?
Yeah, you probably have. It's like a $30 plugin. It's called Estimation and Payment Forms Builder, I think. It's really adaptable. And the backend is really cool.
Is it called Estimate Builder?
Estimation and Payment Forms
Builder. Yeah, Cost ENP. Estimation and Payment Forms Builder.
That's the one, yeah. ENP Forms Builder is what it says in the backend, I think.
Yeah, it's pretty cool looking. I really like this. I think Leslie Bernal of GrowOwnerMac.com, she also uses it. And I remember being really impressed with it then. It's it's a slick plugin.
That's actually where I heard it from. Yeah.
Oh, okay, great.
Yeah, now that you bring it up. So Leslie, shout out. Thanks for that knowledge drop. That's I think where I heard of it. It might have been this podcast, like one of your earlier episodes or another Divi podcast or something like that I heard about it from. So yeah.
Nice. Cool. So that's cool to see that's working. So back to the website. I love how you have your starting price, and then as people build their quote and talk about what they or like select what they want, it adds to that quote. Now, is that quote usually final, or is that, or do you guys give them a final bill that is different than the estimate?
So that estimate that they get is, that's the button is request a call. It's not order or anything like that. We don't take any payment. So we want to make sure that everything's good. And of course, we're still working out a lot of kinks as people give us advice and people explain what they liked, what they didn't like, and so on. But that is the price that we'll put into the quote as we quote them.
And what is the payment? Can you walk me through the process? So like, sounds like, you know, the first thing people do is they land on your website, they get started, they do the quote builder, and then the quote builder ends with request a call, right? Mm-hmm. So the beginning of your process is you receive a quote and then you call them. What happens from there?
Right. So of course, another thing that really slows people down a lot of time with build is understanding the scope. Mm-hmm. And so having that breakdown of exactly what the scope is really allows us to skip ahead to that point. You don't have to really fumble around with, okay, what budget do you have for this product or for this site? Which is always kind of awkward.
It is kind of awkward. They know up front, this is exactly what I'm
getting. Yeah, exactly. And additionally, we know exactly the features that they need. Mm-hmm. And of course, we're always adding features to Page in a Day, and there's some features that we don't allow. For example, e-commerce, we only use the Shopify buy button. We don't want to mess around with WooCommerce because we don't really want to mess around with the ins and outs of securing a cart page and all that kind of development and that kind of thing. So there are some limitations, of course, that we're still trying to work through that we expect those to be worked out soon. But for the most part, people will fill that form out. I'll get sent a PDF that has a list of everything, give them a call, chat with them a little bit, shoot the breeze with them a little bit, get to know them as a person, let them know that, hey, this is the owner of the company. We're discussing this project. And we're not going to be throwing you any hidden fees. We're very transparent. Ask us anything, answer it. Once they give us the rest, if there's anything that they didn't know that was on the form, they had any questions, of course, there's always things that they want that can't really be put into words.
Sure.
We'll talk about those. And then once that's done, if the quote needs to be adjusted, we'll just send them over. We have a really short legal quote thing that we sign that has the timeline on it. And 9 times out of 10, we get to stick with the date that they want. But sometimes, of course, they want something that's a little bit more advanced that takes us a little bit more time. But yeah, we try to stick with the one page websites. We try to stick with the date that they wanted, and we'll build it in 24 hours.
That's amazing. And, what's your typical turnaround time from when you get the contact? I mean, is there, 'cause you say it's 24 hour build time, which is amazing, but what is the typical turnaround of the whole process?
It depends. I would say on average for a single like landing page, which is what Page in a Day of course is, I would say between 2 and 3 weeks.
And that's basically you waiting on them to get you content?
Yes.
That whole period. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
What do you do if their content needs revisions? Because you might get it and be like, well, this isn't enough, or this isn't we can't use this, you know.
Right. So dependent upon the size of the content, of course, a lot of times there's typos and edits need to be made.
Right.
Sometimes we'll just throw in some dummy text that we think breaks up the site in a very easy to read way and, mm-hmm. and accessible way. Of course, strategy is always first. That's always been our big thing.
Yeah.
Strategy, then design. But sometimes you just need something to break up.
Yep.
Break up the.
The information.
The,
yeah.
Yeah, the flow of it. And so we'll throw in some dummy text and then request that they edit it. Mm. So there is an editing phase inside of the timeline that we give them. That we estimate, you know, approximately, sometimes it's a couple days, sometimes it's a couple weeks, depending upon the size, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And that is all built into, we break down exactly what they need to provide and what they need to fix. And another thing that we do, which I forgot to mention, is every single one of these steps that we give them,
mm-hmm.
we'll list it in whatever communication tool we're using, so whether that be email, Slack. We're just getting into Basecamp because we're so small. We haven't needed it yet.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll say like, hey, this is step one. Refer please back to the contract to see exactly what we need here. Mm. Here's the instructional video on how to do it, which is a link to Vimeo, which is usually 1 to 2 mm-hmm. minutes. It just says, hey, I'm Jake or I'm John or I'm Haley from Artillery.
Yep.
Here's exactly how we need this formatted to save you time and us time. This is why we're able to deliver this product at such a competitive price. Is because we've broken this down and we've really thought about it. So we need you to follow this format. And once they do, of course, they're rewarded and we get the site launched.
It seems like, you know, I don't know if you saw a little while back on our blog, we had this series called, or it was about client documentation, like how to build it and what it, you know, what kind of uses it can be for you as a company and you, or as an individual. And this is like the epitome of that, in my opinion, is you guys have just taken the client training to a streamlined, productized level where, you know, you're actually charging for it in your starting price, which is great because it is valuable. I think a lot of people, when they first think about client documentation, they're just like, oh, I need to save myself some time and headache. Like, I'm just sick of explaining this over and over again. But I mean, adding a level of polish to it, actually thinking about how it fits into your selling points as a company, you know, there's real value in that. And I think you guys have shown that with the way you've set this up. I'm really curious to see how you guys grow. And for anybody who's wondering what exactly I'm talking about, if you go to the page in a day, pricing, you'll see that under the, on that pricing, area where you can get your quote, there's training videos and training materials are included as one of the things that, the starting price includes, which is really cool.
Yeah, and another thing on top of that is, of course, we for the page in a day sites, we require the monthly maintenance plan.
Mm.
That's
interesting.
Of course, that serves two purposes. The first one is reoccurring revenue, which John
Absolutely.
Talked about explicitly,
yeah.
which is a huge part of our business plan. And we already talked about the website lease and moving page in a day in that direction, possibly eventually.
Mm.
The other thing that forces us to do is when you put your name on something, you're forced to make sure that it's your best. And so that's mm-hmm. what we really want to do with Page in a Day and Artillery is Artillery is the name, Artillery is the brand. If Artillery is on something, it's going to work. It's not going to break. It's not going to hack. And the statistic that we always use is this gets people laugh every time. You're 3 times more likely to get a virus from a church website than a pornography website. And that sells our maintenance plan like crazy. People are like, what? What do you mean? Like, how is that possible? You just say, okay. Well, there's no, you know, Russian nerd behind a computer hacking into your site. Like, that doesn't happen. People build bots.
Yeah. And if you just don't have anybody looking out for that, then that's where you're going to get it. It's not the content on your site. It's the laziness of the administration.
Exactly.
That gets you every time.
And oh man, like clockwork, it's just like, you know what, I'm just gonna, you know, log in and make those updates myself, and you know, 3 months down the road, hey, we're gonna sign up for the maintenance plan. and so we tell our clients like, hey, for less than the cost of your toilet paper budget,
we can
provide your site for you. But anyway, that goes back to that recurring revenue, of course, that's number mm-hmm. one. But number two is we want to make sure that website is absolutely above par.
Yeah.
And when you're receiving money monthly for something that has your name on it, it takes a whole different level of knot. And so we use that name at the bottom of all our websites for our marketing tool, of course, because mm-hmm. we get a lot of business through referrals, but also it's on us. It's a challenge yeah. for us.
That's interesting. So it's like in a huge way, I mean, maybe more so than any other example, because we've talked about this on the podcast before, but the Page in a Day service is productized service is really like a loss leader program for your maintenance service. I mean, it's something where you're planning on doing it at a small margin sale in order to get a high margin recurring revenue. And exactly. so I think that's a great idea. I'm interested to see the longevity or like the sustainability of how, you know, actually cranking out as many websites as you would have to if this actually starts to scale real big.
Right.
Because right now, I'm just ballpark, how many Page in a Day sites have you done?
Probably maybe 250 to 300.
And because of the way you have your maintenance system set up, you guys can manage that relatively easily with your small team still?
We use a subcontractor to handle a lot of the back end database work. Mm-hmm. So we use, I think Infinite WP is the program that we use. John handles that, so I'm not really sure. But we have a subcontractor that we pay on a referral basis, retainer basis, excuse me.
Sure.
That goes in and checks it just daily. And it usually takes, sometimes there's issues, but so I'm not going to give an average on it. Right. But, you know, he just goes in and makes sure that everything's backing up, you know, mm-hmm. in the correct way. And then all yep. the plugins and stuff are backed up. And once you get on, so $29, that doesn't provide any support. That's just making sure your site's not hacked,
sure.
backups, updates, the basic stuff. I mean, this mm-hmm. is something almost every web developer does or should be doing.
Yep.
And then of course there's tiers and those tiers include support.
Well, maybe you can talk about the technology a bit behind your maintenance service. I mean, what you said, Infinite WP is a plugin. Wait, I haven't use that one a whole lot. Is that just a plugin or is that a plugin that connects you to like a dashboard or a service on their website?
Right. That's the dashboard too. So, I don't want to embarrass myself and go too much into this because like I said, John handles a lot of that, but I do know the backgrounds of some of it. So yeah, we do use that program in it and we plug it into the back end of all of our WordPress sites. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, back it up with a firewall. We use SiteGround hosting.
Okay.
And they provide a firewall, and so does WordFence too,
sure.
depending on your subscription level or whatever, and if you know how to set it up. And then we do CAPTCHA on all forms and that kind of thing. Mm. So just basic things that really make your site kind of over the wall.
Yeah, it just kind of hardens it, like put the basic things in place, and then you harden them up so it gets more difficult for bots and things that are not sentient to
yeah.
mess up your junk.
That's right, yeah. Yeah, so the dashboard on Infinite WP, have seen that before, worked with that a little bit, and it's a great tool. You can provide everything. You just plug in all your WordPress information into that system, and then you don't have to leave that dashboard. It'll notify you if there's an error, it can't connect, or something like that. Of course, 9 times out of 10, hey, your mm-hmm. hosting expired. Need to go in and do your stuff, but. It allows you to make sure that everything's up to date and everything's backed up through that dashboard.
Mm-hmm.
So that, of course, saves a ton of time and bandwidth and stuff like that.
So what kind of problems are you running into with this model? Is anything tripping you guys up yet?
You know, the biggest thing is just finding a way to continually crank out high-quality websites that are fast and efficient and that please the customer while keeping the service that we have. Of course, mm-hmm. you know, that's everything.
The timeline. Yeah. The timeline's everything, right?
Yeah. And so, eventually we'd like to move into a way that Page in a Day is just a huge referral system that just, it's a huge asset that just pulls in information. And then we can use subcontractors to help build and mm-hmm. build and build. However, once Divi started coming out with all the library backend technology and stuff that you can store templates and layouts on even a cloud basis. I know there's some plugins that have already been developed
mm-hmm.
that you just upload the plugin, and you put in your activation key, and you can just select from 400 templates.
Yeah.
And save and import, export to library, and boom, you're there. There you go.
Yeah.
But the problem with templates is you always have to tweak them just a little bit. And sometimes tweaking it just a little bit messes the whole thing up. So finding someone who has the strategy mindset to be able to go in and make those fixes, and also the technological know-how to know how to fix those, has been interesting. And so what we thought about doing, which we will, of course, eventually do once we get the process absolutely ironed out, is we want a niche down. So pageinaday.com/churches or pageinaday.com/restaurants or something like that.
Sure.
Where we give people the opportunity to select from certain amount of homepages that we've developed that we own the rights to. And then we help build out the interior pages and we help move things around. Because the cool thing about Divi, of course, as everyone knows who's listening to this podcast, is it's not like Squarespace or another theme or something like that, where you don't really have the functionality to or the flexibility to move things around like you can with Divi. And even with multi-site, I know John talked about My Brilliant Site a little bit. Mm-hmm. This is a little bit different because this will actually give people the opportunity to be flexible.
Yeah.
So that's how we're different.
To completely own their own domain, their own website, everything. Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So that's interesting. I was wondering, you know, have you tried, or is it in the brainstorming phase where anything where you're like wanting to do like form content collection and literally just have that like ported into different modules?
Absolutely.
Different layouts.
Yeah.
Automatically.
Absolutely. That's absolutely been discussed. Of course, a lot of times with content is it's changing a lot, or you get a lot of different versions of it. And so we're going to be jumping into Basecamp here soon to kind of see how that works as far as collections and edits and stuff like that. I've been using Google Drive a lot of folders and the comment section. The cool thing about Google Drive is, of course, you can edit in real time.
Yeah,
you can
type it's in so real collaborative. Time. That's like, I even find myself using it, you know, even we have like multiple people can log into WordPress, and WordPress has its own system for submitting content for review, but there's nothing quite like highlighting something, commenting on it, and then having that in real time be seen by your, you know, your collaborator, and having them comment back or make a change and go, how's that? Like, it's just so much more, I don't know, satisfying and intuitive and clear to use than almost anything else I know of out there.
Right. Yeah. And of course, then you run into the whole issue with photos, and storing all that. Yeah. If you're storing it on your own website, uploading that kind of thing, a lot of times, I'm sure you've experienced this. I'm sure every web developer has experienced this, where, the reason people are coming to you is because you're the expert. They don't really know what they want yet. And so they're just going to, you know, batch upload 100 photos and say, hey, pick the one that you think is best. Or the one that they upload, the one that they give to you, is 300 pixels wide.
Yeah.
And you're just I can't use that. Yeah. Well, I told you.
It's got to be big. And they're like, I made it really big. It's like, yeah, but you made it really big at, you know, 2 kilobytes. Like, it doesn't work that way. You can't upscale from tiny.
Yeah. And then using the parallax features, you know, things get chopped and things get moved because you need that extra stretch to be able to fit the photo there. So people don't understand that too, and explaining that to them. So that's another hurdle that we're trying to come across too.
So I think these are like predictable and kind of like, yeah, they're predictable hurdles and challenges for anybody trying to do what you're doing. And it sounds like you guys are attacking them the best you know. I'll be interested to follow up with you guys and hear more about, you know, the progress that you make, because this is, it seems really promising. And it seems like you guys have a really cool thing down. Good processes, good execution. Have you had anybody just completely unsatisfied yet? Just not doing this. This is not working for me.
You know, not really. A couple first edits or first drafts of the site have been. Usually it's something along the lines of, they selected a mood or something that they liked the feel of, mm-hmm. but their team didn't, and they approved it before they didn't. So they're like, my team doesn't like this. But we're usually always very forgiving and very understanding of how the whole process works because of the systems that we have in place. But usually the systems that we have in place are there to prevent exactly that problem.
Yeah, yeah. And
so wireframing first with the mood board. We don't start a project until we have all the content, the mood board, the site outline, the timeline, and then we do the wireframe.
And all that's approved by them before you do your 24-hour build.
Exactly, yeah. So we got to make sure, hey, here's the wireframe, and we use the mockups, M-O-Q-U-P-S. Mm-hmm. We use that because it's an excellent tool to just be able to drag and drop and resize vectors, everything as you're building it.
I think we might have featured that on the blog before.
Yeah, it's awesome. If you don't have it, highly recommend it. The only thing is, of course, it's not Photoshop, so if you need to edit it, you have to use that app, which is fine with us. It's an online app, so it's a web app, so it's amazing, mockups. But that's what we do first, and everything's black and white, and the banners are just title goes here, and then dummy content, just lorem ipsum text. And so that really helps kind of, what's the phrase we use? Manage expectations.
Sure.
So if you're managing your client's expectations and helping them along the path of, hey, this is what you can expect, this is what you can get from us, here's four websites that we've done in your industry that we think you'd like the feel of and look of and stuff like that. But once we have all that, usually people are on board.
That's awesome. So if I can, I would like to attempt to sort of summarize or recap what we've gone over, because I want to make sure there's a sort of a clear train of thought here. What I'm getting from this is that, you know, it's really, you guys have found it incredibly important, and you've been successful because you've written down and created a system that you know inside and out. You're clearly communicating that system to your customers and clients so that they're on board with it before anything happens. And you've automated things through your quoting process and through your drip email campaigns that notify them they need things or that you need things from them. And you've even automated to a certain extent the process of getting those things from them and getting to the point where you're ready to build. And you've definitely automated your building process as much as possible by saving things to your Divi library, using pre-built tools that you guys have developed. And then the end result is that you're able to do one thing really quickly that in turn leads to repeat business through your maintenance plan.
Right, exactly. And one more thing, I completely forgot to mention this. If anyone's listening, go find a college student. That's another thing is we're in a college town. University of Nebraska is here. And one thing that just really, really helped us be able to do all this is having... And of course, bigger companies have the resources for this, but smaller companies don't. So sometimes a lot of people just skip the step because it doesn't provide any revenue, you know, shorthand.
Sure.
But what John did is John came to me when I was a student at the university as a marketing student. And I used Artillery or Page in a Day for every project we ever had for 4 years.
Oh, wow.
And so really we're able to refine that. That's a huge step up that we got to use, is because students are constantly looking for interesting companies, startup companies that they can help work with, because it's all free anyways. They're just doing it for a grade. But of course, they have doctors in marketing grading this project. And they force the student to go to the company and interview the company to talk about their goals, to talk about their needs. And so what you get at the end of the day is a final project that's either an A or a B, graded by a doctor in marketing, that's a full business plan. And so that really helped us too.
That's awesome. We're able to take advantage of that that circumstance and that overlap. That's really cool. So I think we've gone over a lot of good stuff today. I think that was an excellent tip. I'd like to end it with a sort of a final thought. Do you have something that you'd like to leave people with on this topic? Some, if they forget everything else that we've talked about, what's the one thing you think everybody should take away from this conversation?
The one thing that I would say that has been the reason for our success outside of service and quality, making sure your product is absolutely fantastic, is know what you do, know your process, know your system, know what you're selling. If you don't know exactly how your process works, you're going to find out eventually through a very angry customer. And so there's this another book I was reading. It's called Rich Dad, Poor Dad. I forget the author. Yeah, it's really good. But he has a story in there where Ray Kroc, who the movie was the founder, and of course he's depicted as a total jerk in this movie. But the reason that he was so successful is he goes to the University of Texas and he asks the students, what do I sell? And they say hamburgers. And then he says, no, I sell real estate. My business is real estate. Mm-hmm. So he knew his business. He knew his process. And the reason I can make a better burger than McDonald's, you can make a better burger than McDonald's, anyone can. But why don't we have a huge burger chain? Because McDonald's knows their process and they do it very well. Mm-hmm. They're not in the business of burgers. They're in the business of process and real estate. And that's why they're successful. And so the sooner you realize your process, your business, I think the more successful you'll be able to bottle that up and refine it, shave off what you don't need, get rid of what you don't need, and really work on what you do need. Mm. And then you can sell that in bulk.
Very cool. That's an excellent stopping point. Jake, thank you so much for coming on Divi Nation. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Well, that's all for this episode of Divi Nation. Thanks for tuning in. I just want to give another big thank you to our guest, Jake Kramer, for coming on the show. If you have any questions about what we discussed in today's episode, please feel free to leave them in the comments section on the Elegant Themes blog, and we'll be sure to respond. Thanks again for tuning in. I look forward to seeing you all around the community. As always, I'll be back here next week with another episode of Divi Nation.